Blog Talk Radio.
Initiative with the Apostle Natalie Young and Detective Mike Green. How are you, Detective?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm so glad to hear your voice.
You too. Same here. As always.
Always. We're out here on the front line, man. I like live in the hood. I'm out here on the front line, and you're out there in the hood every day. So it's always good to hear your voice and know you're safe. Detective.
Yeah.
I heard another radio broadcast today, and the topic was kind of, the election and different things. But this caller called in and said, it's always mental illness when it's a white person, and it's terrorism when it's a foreign person, and when it's a black person, you're just guilty, pretty much. That we never look at it on the same scale with each ethnicity, it's a different view.
Yeah.
Can you?
I think for a while there, it was just the media that had the bias, right? The media feeding us whatever the media wants to feed us, and that we listen to. But now what I see is, the media affects people include politicians. So I see the politicians, prosecutors, and so on, falling for the same spiel that the media's feeding as well. And at the end of the day, though, the reality is it's all some form of mental illness, because in the simplest terms, just imagine going up to somebody and killing them, beheading them with a knife or shooting them or however you kill them, because you don't like, their religious view, or you don't like their skin color, whatever it is. Like that's a mental illness at the end of the day, at the root cause, right? And it could be a mental illness that you have long term, or it could be just a momentary snap. Where in that moment, it's not premeditated. In that moment, you just snap and, you go off course and have a mental issue in that brief moment that makes you snap and do that, whereas no other time in your life would you do something like that. But, at the end of the day, it's all some kind of form of mental illness at the end of the day.
And it doesn't matter what lifestyle they have, whether it's an officer to a daily roof. It's still mental illness at that moment.
Yeah. Truly, at the end of the day, the best example I could give is, for you, for anybody else listening, if you consider yourself normal, and let's say you're not a violent person or whatever, and just imagine what would it take in you to actually kill another human being? Like, what would that take in you to do that other than, let's say, self-defense, meaning for you to initiate it on someone you don't even know. That's the root. That's a mental problem, there's other factors, but end of the day, you've got to have some kind of mental issue where you can physically even, let's say, go up to somebody and decapitate them, That's a pretty violent.
Yeah, quit saying all those words on the air. Right, man. It's like, detective, personally feel you don't have to kill anybody, but that is a personal choice.
Yes, definitely.
Even in the line of duty. If you feel like you're threatened, even in the line of duty, you can lame them, you can give them a life-sustaining wound, but, you don't have to cause their demise. If you can at all possibly not do it, you don't have to. It's a choice. You make a conscious choice before you do it to do it. It didn't just roll out of your head. I just don't believe
that. I've been unfortunate, I would say, to have been in a few shootouts. And I think the first thing that kind of is never discussed is that, again, as long as you're normal to begin with, or somewhat normal, which I think most people are, the first thing that goes through your head is guilt, even if you're in the right. You know, and in my shootouts, I shot perpetrators who were trying to kill other people. I thank God I didn't kill any of them. They all lived. But not knowing at the moment if they lived or not, the immediate feeling was, yeah, even though I was justified and I was saving somebody else's life, I still felt extreme guilt for having possibly killed somebody else. Like I said, even if everything
is a normal, right, but guilt is a normal human feeling if you have any compassion left, right?
It's
a normal instinct that should kick in. And just like a normal instinct to protect should kick in.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
And I say it all the time as a minister that we are losing our instinct to protect. And it just doesn't come as spontaneous as it should. Right?
Well, right. That's not as natural as it was, right? Yeah. I've noticed that too. I think there's a lot of things that used to come natural to us humans that aren't anymore. And I think, you know, half of that is due to technology and the other half is the upbringing. You know, all these things have changed. And it in turn, yeah, it's changing us. You know, at the end of the day, all the violence we see on the streets, at the end of the day, that just means, you know, somewhere in this person's life, right, they must have not been, you know, certain things must not have been instilled into them, you know, during their upbringing, you know.
Is that word
on a lighter scale? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, on a lighter scale, let's just think of manners. If you've got an adult who's got no manners, you know, you can most likely equate that back to childhood where, hey, I guess your parents didn't instill in you manners. So, you know, now you're an adult with no manners, you know, and, you know, it's the same thing with certain other, you know, things in life that we're just losing, you know.
Our other co-host, Barbara Nellens, on Your Time, on TalkToMeRadio.com, our interview yesterday, our segment on bullying, she said the exact same words almost verbatim. It has to be. She did. I'm telling you, you're right in the spirit. It has to be instilled. It has to be constantly reinforced as a child.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
For you to develop, I think for you to even develop passion. And empathy, not sympathy, because people don't even have any sympathy for you. You can tell them everything you're going through, and they're just like, You know, they don't even, it's not like they actively move towards a solution.
Right. Yes, 100% agree. Well, you'll see, you'll see that there's people just into themselves, right? It's about me, not about helping anybody else, you know, just about themselves, you know. And again, that's for that in particular, I think some of that's definitely how you were raised. Some of it could just be in your DNA too, but, you know, yeah, a great deal of it is, yeah, that's how you're raised. Yeah.
So, you know, I looked and they try to say the Orlando shootings, were like the biggest. And I'm like, well, what about the Valentine's Day massacre? What about, you know, the Chicago stuff that went on for decades before they shut it down? What about the guy mentioned today on radio, Black Wall Street? You know, that's how he was making his comparison, you know, to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I kept thinking about that. I said, let me get my Detective Green on the line because, you know, he opened up a whole new window for thought when he said that. And we know it's absolutely true.
Go ahead. was going to say, going back, you know, in regards to just what you're saying, I'll say this. One of the best things I got or I gained from being raised, living and working in New York City for decades was, besides growing up around just extreme diversity, right, from people across the planet, different socioeconomic groups and so on, was that New York City is home to a lot of corporate headquarters or sub-headquarters, right? So then basically being positioned for several years, you know, when I was a detective, I worked in an area that also included a lot of those corporations. So when crimes would happen, I would interact with these people who are the people who make the news, or not make the news, but who determine what's fed to us in the media. Meaning, let's say the director of news at CNN, or the director of news at Fox or NBC, and to see the inside that, you know, let's say we watch the news, right, and the news is global. It's all over the planet, and there's a terrorist attack, and like you just said, it's a white guy, it's a mental problem or whatever, right? I got to see that the person making that decision to bring that out is a person. It's like a person, right, who's the top dog, and then it filters down a little bit to a staff of maybe 10 people. And, like, those 10 people decide what the hundreds of millions of the rest of us are fed. And that's pretty powerful.
Yes, it is.
You know, and I think with some of this stuff, that's what's also missing is that as we see these variances, like you're discussing here, one situation it's terrorism, and another it's mental illness, the other is just crime, go to jail or whatever. Is I think also we have to, you know, in reference to like everybody waking up, we got to wake up to, yeah, who's actually feeding us the news? Forget the reporter on TV. It's the staff in the background of, like I said, like 10 people. We're deciding what we get or what we don't get, or in what manner they want to spin or veer the news to us, as opposed to just reporting it without any, you know, bias or interjecting their own personal views. You know, so I think that's a big issue, I think, as well. I gained some good insight into firsthand.
There's a psychiatric diagnosis predict gun crime?
I think it's possible, right? I mean, at the end of the day, we never know until it happens, right? We can definitely do predictions, but we'll never know unless it actually happens, right? Like if we prevent something before it happens or before it becomes or gets into even the planning stage, we'll never actually know if we prevented something, you know, so it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I say yes, definitely, 100%, I'd say. I know from my experience talking to, you know, thousands of people, interviews, interrogations, and so on. And, you can predict some things. And then there's actually a big crime strategy that current New York City Police Commissioner Bratton came out with about 10 years ago, ahead of its time, and it's called predictive, and it's kind of what you just said. No psychologists involved, but looking at crime trends and looking at people's prior records and so on, how you can predict what they're going to do, when and where.
But the problem with that, Mike, is the reports aren't always true. Again, we rely on human beings to make that report.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
So that's what makes it so iffy. You know, if your person or that you're arresting, what are they called? Suspects. cussing you out, kicking you, pulling your hair. I mean, I just know you're not writing anything nice about them, right?
You know what? It depends on the person, right? In general, yeah. There may not be anything nice. I mean, hey, if you can take your bias out of it, you'll write in the report just what they did and not add any, you know, personal inflection. But, yeah, nobody's going to be happy about that.
Yeah, but how easy is that for another human being? It's not.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's definitely not. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're all...
If you upset me, I'm going to tell it just to, you know, if you upset me, I'm going to say it just the way I feel most times. It takes a very, very cool, calm head not to discriminate in that manner.
Right. Yep.
Right?
Absolutely.
To be even emotioned about it.
Gosh. Yes. Now that spins off to me in another little topic, which is that I think a lot of people don't realize or forget that a police officer is just another human being. And meaning not some special robot and emotionless creature or whatever that absolutely has no bias and so on, right? And, you know, and then,
well, yeah, you are. Yes, you are. You're a robot. You're supposed to feel nothing, okay?
Well, right.
When I'm screaming in your face, you're not supposed to feel nothing, okay?
Right. You're not supposed to. But, you know, each person's different. So some of us can handle it. You know, I've stood there at protests with people screaming in my face, you know, calling my mother names, and I just got to sit there and take it, you know? And I've seen other cops do it, and they can't take it, you know? They engage in, you know, some type of altercation and can't handle it. But that goes back to being human, and we're all a little bit different, you know. And you know what, too? Police training, I tell people that, too. You take a regular human, you put them in a few months of training, and then send them off in a career that lasts 20, 30, 40 years. It's the same thing. That training is just a dot. In the spectrum of, you know, a 20, 30-year career, you know? And I'm spinning off a little bit, but, yeah, you know, to me, I believe it needs to be constant training every year. I'd love to see psychological testing every year. Other agencies do it, you know, CIA and other agencies do that. But you don't see it in any police departments. It's testing and training at the beginning when you're hired, and that's it.
Wow. They don't go back and reiterate and retrain? I think they should.
You know what? You'll get some in-service training, and it's really light. It could be one day. It could be a few hours. You know, nothing really formal. Any formal training, you usually have to request it yourself. Like if you want to go into a different unit, and you go to a 2-week, you know, homicide investigator's course or something like that. But other than that, let's say you just wanted to be a regular patrol cop. Yeah, there's no other real training throughout your career, really. You know, nothing formal. So that's part of the problem.
Yeah. I think so. I think so. Because it's all determined by what's written. And after the fact. And
right.
So we have to be fair about it. I'm looking at this article and I'll more distinctive about it because I just don't think that you can predict when somebody's going to snap. I don't think we can predict as humans how far you can push a person.
Right.
And so I just don't engage in it. Leave people alone. And I say that all the time. You know, if you see them distraught, if you see them distraught, leave them alone. Don't pick it. Don't agitate it. Don't aggravate the situation. Sometimes it's just love. Sometimes it's not. I mean, Daylon Roof was totally calm, they say. They say he was, like, totally calm before he did it.
Yep.
He even asked for prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody could sense it in the atmosphere. That he had something very deceitful underneath that
calm demeanor. So I'd rather for you to be screaming and hollering at me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Letting me know what's coming at me.
Oh, no, you go ahead. Yeah?
Letting me know what's coming at me, that you are angry, than someone very subtle and passive and cunning as he was. I mean, that's just incredible. Okay.
No, I was going to say, that's where it's a mixture, right? So I don't think you can predict what everyone might do. I think there's some that you can predict, you know, easier than others. But then I also think, you know, there's some of us with either learned or innate abilities that we're just born with, where we can pick up stuff better than other people, right? Like, like really briefly, you know, I spent five of my years before I was a suit and tie detective, I spent five of my years in a unit where we would go out into the streets, you know, of Manhattan on foot or in an unmarked police car or whatever it was. And, you know, I was tasked with spotting people who I believe would commit crimes, meaning, you know, 10,000 people a minute passing one street, and I'm watching, I'm analyzing each person's body language, demeanor, and boom, I zoom in on one person, and, you know, in my head, based on, you know, some part instinct and some
instinct.
Part their behavioral patterns, yeah, I can determine this guy's going to do a robbery, or this guy's going to do a pickpocket, or this guy's going to do some sexual assault or burglary, and, you know, I wasn't always right, but, you know, I'd probably make 40 arrests a month doing that. And, you know, I'd actually, you know, I'd follow the person covertly and watch them actually commit the crime. And then each time I did that, I learned the behavior of those criminals. I learned how they
were
before and during a crime, which then made me a better, you know, detective. You know, for spotting this stuff before it happened, you know, predictive.
I'm going to say this
again,
before we take our break. Hold on. I'm going to say this real quick before I lose that train of thought. And then I'm going to take a break and we'll come right back. So please don't hang up. But did you hear what Detective Green said? He watched the pattern. And with each time, he learned more. Now, we're talking to an officer. But those are things that each of us should pay attention to. Even with our children and our family members, we can just about pinpoint what they'll do and what they won't do after a pattern of watching their behavior. But this is RHL Social Justice Initiative. We're here on Thursdays. We'll be back next Thursday, hopefully with Detective Mike Green again, and we'll be talking about social justice issues. Let's take a break. Our new show is Your Time on TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard. Hello, everybody. It's Apostle Natalie. Hello, everybody. It's Apostle Natalie Young. I just wanted to give you a personal thank you for tuning in to RHL Ministry Radio. Please go to our website at www.rhlministryradio.com and sign our guest book. We're back. We're coming back. Let's hold on. It's counting down.
Okay.
Detective, it's crazy. This stuff is crazy. Because I think we're like in our silent mode. We're just not live anymore. But they're still going to hear it. What I'm trying to figure out is why do we put so much stigma on it?
Oh, so much what? What did you say?
Stigma. So much. We try to categorize it and tag every little single thing. And that was my issue.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's done because, everybody wants to put something in a category, right? They want to say, let's say, for example, instead of just, now, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, instead of just saying we're humans, no, we're like, no, you're black. You're white, you're Asian, you're right. Like we want everything in life in a category. We want, this is a small car, this is a mid-size, this is a full size. You got coach airline tickets, you got first class, So you look at everything, our lives are us putting things in categories. It's got to be like in our DNA.
Does it make us more, does it dull us to reality? I think it dulls us to reality.
Yeah.
I post stuff that I just know is going to shock people. I say stuff I know is going to shock people in reality, like, oh, my God, is she saying that? Because we don't deal with it.
I was going to say, now you're going into the realm of what I say politically correctness, right? You might say something that people are considered shocking, but the reality is speaking, right? You're just speaking the truth. But for the average person who's so used to everything being softened down to them and nice and, comforting, it's shocking.
Uh-huh.
Where you're just talking reality.
That's why I love you so much. I keep calling you back, like, come on, because he's like wild, okay? And I just love it because he just says, what's on his mind. He does it real nice. He he's not all mean. I try to encourage him to get riled up, and he doesn't. He just stays calm, I just love it. I'm telling you, I love it. And so, but I'm more of an emotional speaker. It doesn't mean that I'm going to react. It just means I'm ready to if I have to. And so
right.
I am a shocker. I need you to stay with me and stay in reality. I can't, talk to people like are delusional. Or you're giving me these delusional answers. Like you want me to grasp at straws when I've asked you a direct question. I get frustrated with stuff like that. That manipulation.
I'm with you, yeah.
It drives me crazy. I couldn't imagine interrogating somebody and they just keep playing, word games.
That's why I think part of the reason I have the patience of an angel is because, doing that thousands of times, you learn to gain extreme patience, yes.
Extreme. I mean, I'm telling you, it takes extreme patience. And, you go on for months and months and months, and you're going through the same thing in months and months and months. And then all of a sudden you say something, like snippet, and they want to say, oh, you're crazy. No, you were just aggravating it. You were pricking it. You expected it. You were trying to pull it out. So now you got it. Now what?
Yep.
Right. Pretty much. And so I can kind of relate. I relate to officer stress. I relate to leadership stress.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it from all different kinds of perspectives. But, if you just have different ways that these people operate in the system and through the atmosphere.
Right.
And you really, really, really have to use discernment. You have to use every sense that God gives you.
Right.
To be able to determine if a person is stable.
Yes.
Could be somebody riding right in your car with you, and they may not be stable.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I
think part of that, too, is if you, I mean, just what you're saying, you kind of just have to have open eyes. You know, a lot of us are living life so enclosed and just in our own world, we're not seeing, like, the obvious that's right next to us, you know.
Well, is it that we don't see it or that our sight is selective?
You know what? A little bit of both. A little bit of both. Because, you know, without getting into it, you know, we can even look at, let's say, either one, Trump or Hillary supporter, either one of them. Both of them have some really bad qualities, but you know you can talk to some people about them, and they will just ignore those bad qualities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff that's not perception, stuff that's reality, or proven. And you know, you'll have one person who will just ignore it as though it just doesn't exist. Well, then you'll have somebody in reality who at least is like, hey, I'm going to still vote for this person. I know they're bad, but I'm voting for them anyway for whatever the reason. Now, that's reality, but the non-reality is the person is just ignoring it and like, no, the person's great. The person's great. Meanwhile, you've got, you know, some physical proof and so on that you know, the person's not. So, yeah, that exists too, where we willfully or selectively see or want to see or hear what we want to see or hear. Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm. I'm telling you, and that is what's frustrating me right now. That
mm-hmm.
I cannot, like, go into this delusional balloon, rose-colored glasses, giraffe-type mentality.
Mhm.
And it gets on people's nerves. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It definitely does for some, yeah.
I was telling this lady.
Mm-hmm. Reality.
I prefer reality. That's a magnificent statement. I prefer reality. I speak that into every listener. I declare it in the atmosphere that you are enlightened to reality, because it's much easier to hide behind you know, the rose-colored glasses and never deal with anything. We talked about that with bullying. Bullying is a issue that people see it going on, but they're afraid to step up to. And we had a really good conversation about it. They're going to podcast it and put it online. But we had a really, really, really good conversation about it, because there are incidents where you see bullying going on, whether it's, you know, road rage or kids on a playground. And there's adults around or people around that could say something but don't.
Yes.
I hope I don't lose you. But one of those, you know, reasons that we found online was that a lot of times people were bullied when they were younger, and it's more acceptable. They're dulled down to it. So they don't protect in that situation. Even teachers, you know, how can all these cops or security guards go into the school and drag kids around, knock them out of chairs, all that stuff, and you don't like leap up out of your seat from behind your desk and grab him or help
mm-hmm.
that kid? How many
mm-hmm.
times have you seen a violent act going on and people are just standing around with cameras and cell phones and taking pictures? But they're not.
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time. Yep.
Huh?
It happens all the time, every day. All
it happens
long.
All the time. But I remember when I was growing up, you know, you jump, it's a fight going on, you go jump in the fight. You're not like standing on the sideline cheering with your phone going, ooh, look, let me post this on Facebook.
Yeah.
Who does that?
Too many people. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know if any people were outside that incident in Orlando, but I imagine there was some goofball doing that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
See?
I mean, actually, if you look on YouTube, like some of the video that's out there, that's where it's from. It was from, you know, you see a camera person videoing people carrying, you know, a victim instead of helping themselves carrying a victim. You know, they're just recording it. So, yeah.
We had that. They told me it was a 9-1 videos in this city of people fighting. I've never seen it.
Mm.
I've never seen it. But they said, you know, the guy's making a lot of money. He's on a 6th segment. I said, is that legal?
Oh, what? Just videoing fights?
Videotaping fights and, you know, probably agitating some of them. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Just to be able to get the video.
Right. So I guess making money off of it then.
Yeah. Selling them.
Yeah.
I didn't know it. I'm going to look it up, but I just didn't. I haven't had time, but I'm going to look it up because I just think that's insane that you would exploit someone else's pain or demise to get your own, to make revenue. Now, if it just happens,
again, unfortunate, happens every day, all day long, unfortunately. You know, on that same topic, I was talking a bunch of surviving family members from victims of the terrorist attack in Orlando yesterday. And, you know, we're about, two, 3 weeks since the attack. And what's happening now is they're all being bombarded with lawyers saying, hey, come to me, let's sue. So,
right.
You know, that's the next phase of what's happening now is the lawsuits are going to start and everybody's getting sued. City of Orlando, every police department, every officer that was on scene, the club owners, probably the club managers, this and that. And, you know, it's
wow.
You know, especially for that town, this is going to be big with, you know, probably hundreds of lawsuits, right? The attorneys are going after not just the family of the survivors and the survivors,
but the city,
family,
and
those
the county.
Who died. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is going to be bad.
It's going to be bad. He's laughing like, it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. We love Detective Mike Green at Social Justice Initiative. We are going to, like, drag him with us, like, wherever we go in media, because we just love him. We love his advice.
Thank you.
We love his personality. We are just going to keep him. We just love him. So, we're just going to just impose on his time and stay with him and pray for him. And it's going to be bad. I want to say it again. It's going to be bad in Orlando. Okay.
Yeah.
If you knew the mindset of the people, they're just going to keep coming at the legislation. They're going to keep coming at the leaders. They do it anyway. They walk up in the city council and start screaming and all that stuff. Trust me, they do it.
Yep.
We're going to talk about they do. We're going to talk about this again next Thursday, hopefully, if we're not busy. We love you at RHL Ministry Radio. Just hold on. Mike, it's okay for you to hang up. We're going to close out.
Okay.
And everybody
well,
just come back.
Thank you again. I appreciate it. Yeah, you got me. I love you guys, too.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
We'll see you next week on RHL Social Justice Initiative. Make sure that you find us at TalkTainmentRadio.com, radio the way it should be heard at TalkTainmentRadio.com. We'll say that again. We love you at RHL Ministry Radio. We're out. We're going to close out again. Hello, everybody. It's Apostle Natalie Young. I just wanted to give you a personal thank you for tuning in to RHL Ministry Radio. Please go to our website at www.rhlministryradio.com and sign our guest book. We'll talk to you live on the air. God bless you and thank you for tuning in.